listening to a message that was preached at Temple Baptist Church in Salem, Virginia. We believe that God's Word provides the foundation that we are to build our lives and homes upon. We sincerely hope that this message from God's Word will be a help and an encouragement to all who listen.
Continuing this evening, looking at the questions our Savior asked, and we find a very interesting question in this passage. On the surface, it seems like a ridiculous question, but once you begin to look at it and begin to dig into it a little more, it becomes more, or we understand more as to why the Lord asked this particular question. We're going to begin reading this evening in verse 1 of John chapter number 5. The Bible said, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, and it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. I draw attention this evening to verse number 6 as our text verse. The Word of God says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Again, this was a time, just to get a little bit of the setting and timing of this, it was a time of the Jews' annual feast, the Feast of the Passover. It was one of the three great religious feasts that was celebrated during the year. And the Lord was in Jerusalem to observe the feast. But on this particular day, instead of finding the Lord in the temple, we find him instead in the area known as Bethesda. There was a pool of water in this area, and it was called the Pool of Bethesda, and this was beside the sheep market or near the sheep gate. There was a multitude there, and we see that in the story. We see a multitude, we see a man, we see the master, and we see a miracle. And we're not given this man's name. John simply calls him an impotent man. His days were spent lying by the pool of Bethesda, wishing that by some miracle his body could be healed and his life could be changed or transformed. This impotent man had lived that way for 38 years, and he believed that his miracle would take place in this pool. However, when the Lord came to where he was, a poolside miracle occurred, and the man was healed without even getting wet. And the story reminds us that the Lord has the ability to meet us at the point of our need and overcome that which is overcoming us. This man had not the ability to get into that water, but the Lord came to where he was. He also overcame that which was overcoming this man. But before the Lord intervened with this man, he asked this man a very interesting question. Again, that question is found in verse number 6, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And that's a good question for us to consider this evening. Do you want to be whole? We have all things in our lives that seem to hinder us at times. They hinder us and keep us from the life that God wants for us to live. And I want us this evening to follow the Lord in this story and watch him as he changes the life of this impotent man. And there are three things that we're going to draw from this that I think will help us this evening considering this question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us and to teach us, to instruct us. As I said a moment ago, may God help us to listen attentively, to learn thoroughly, and to obey completely. And as we pray, let's ask the Lord to help us to allow these things to happen. We have to purposely listen. There's a lot of things that bid for our attention. There are distractions all around us. And so let's ask the Lord to help us be attentive. Let's ask the Lord to help us to hear and to learn thoroughly. Not shallow, but thorough. Learn thorough. And my wife and I was talking today, and you know, it's amazing how shallow some churches and some Christians are. They've just never been taught. And it's sad to see that. There's a lot of places like that. They just don't tell folks the truth, or they don't teach people the truth and instruct people in the truths of God's Word. And let's ask the Lord to teach us tonight. By the way, if he doesn't teach us, we're not going to learn. If he doesn't help us to comprehend that which is being spoke, we're not going to learn the things he has for us. So let's ask the Lord to help us to learn thoroughly. And then as Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself, let's purpose in our heart this evening that we're going to obey completely. As the Lord speaks to our heart, as the Lord prods us and says to us, there's something that you need, there's something that will help you, as the Lord makes that aware, draws our attention to those things, let's determine, purpose in our heart, we're going to obey completely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for its message and its ability to, Lord, to speak to us and to mold us and make us, Lord, sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting and dividing, shaping and molding. And Lord, tonight as we have an opportunity to hear the Word of God, help us to listen attentively. May we not be easily distracted. Lord, I know that's something we have to purpose and determine to do. And Lord, help us not be distracted. And then Lord, as we have an opportunity to learn from your Word, help us to learn thoroughly. Help us to listen and hear and comprehend that which you have for us. Not only listen to the vocal words that's being spoken, but Lord, listen to your Spirit as he speaks to that soft voice or that whisper in our heart and in our mind. Lord, help us to listen and to learn thoroughly. But Lord, may we determine and purpose in our heart we're going to obey completely. Use us tonight as a tool in your hand. Lord, I know that in and of myself, there is no ability at all. Nothing can be accomplished unless you bless it. And so, Lord, I ask that you would pick this vessel up this evening and use it as a tool in your hand. Do what we as human instruments are not capable of doing, and that's speaking to the hearts of people. Lord, I love you tonight, and I have a desire to honor you, so help me to do such. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished as we have an opportunity to obey this evening during this invitation. And these things we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we follow the Lord in this great event, really, it was a miracle, a miraculous event. As we follow the Lord here, I want you to notice, first of all, where the Lord went. The opening verse here of John chapter 5 tells us that the Lord went to Jerusalem. And in the next two verses, we are told specifically where the Lord went in that great city. By the way, I believe there's a lot we can learn about the Lord by simply studying the places that he went. I'm working on a series of messages on the places our Savior journeyed. It's an interesting thing. But we can learn a lot about the Lord by simply studying the places that he went. He went to the well in Samaria to witness to a lost woman. He went to Zacchaeus' house to change a crooked man. He went into the temple to run out those who were abusing God's house. He went to the tomb of Lazarus to raise the dead. And in our text, we see here and we learn about the character of the Lord by observing where he went. Notice here, first of all, that he went to the hurting people. He went to the hurting people. When the Lord came into Jerusalem, he did not first go to the temple where he could rub elbows with the Jewish leaders. He didn't go to Herod's palace so that he could meet the king, nor did he go to the Roman governor's house in order to get in good with the local politicians and power players. When the Lord came into the city, he went to the place where the hurting people had assembled. The Bible tells us that he went to this pool called Bethesda, and he went to those whose lives were difficult and those whose hearts were broken. Contrary to what many may believe, the Lord Jesus Christ is not looking for perfect people, because he would never find one. Amen. Someone once said, well, I would go to church, but it's full of hypocrites. You're exactly right. You may as well come and join them, because you're one too. The Lord's not looking for perfect people. There are no perfect people. The Lord is looking and he's seeking for those who are hurting. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The Lord is looking for folks he can help. He's looking for hurting people. And I noticed not only did the Lord go and look for hurting people, but notice also he went to helpless people. He went to helpless people. You look here in the text and you notice again that there in verse number 3, John describes this crowd gathered around the pool as being impotent folk. And notice there, he gives us a list of those that are there at this pool in verse number 3. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. You see, the Lord came, and by the way, that word impotent is an interesting word. It literally means without strength. They didn't have the strength to help themselves. They didn't have the strength to do what was needed. They were dependent upon someone to meet their needs. Why? Because they were helpless. And the Lord came to minister to those who could not help themselves. He came to those who were powerless against their disability and the diseases that they were battling. I want to say we learn a lot about where the Lord went. Notice secondly, not only where the Lord went, but what the Lord wondered. What did the Lord wonder, as we read there again in verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Among this multitude of impotent folk, by the way, I think John was probably from the South. Amen. He didn't say impotent people. He said impotent folk. That's kind of a Southern word. He said this multitude of impotent folk among the sick and lame bodies there littering the poolside of Bethesda, one man in particular caught the Lord's eye. Looking at him, the Lord knew the long and painful story that had been this man's life. He'd been there a long time, 38 years to be exact. And the Lord knew everything, and yet he wondered about something regarding this man. He asked him a question, wilt thou be made whole? Literally, the question is, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? Do you want to get better? Now, at first glance, this seems like a ridiculous question. What sick person doesn't want to be well? How many has ever been sick? How many likes to be sick? How many, when you get sick, you want to get better? Yeah. Who in their right mind, an individual that's sick, wouldn't want to be better? However, as we begin to think and meditate on this question, we realize that it's actually a very good question. It's a great question. I notice a couple of things that the Lord wondered about this man. I want you to notice, first of all, as the Lord asked this question, he was asking this man, was he ready for a change? Are you ready for a change? And though it may seem obvious, this man would be eager to be healed on the surface. In reality, not everyone's ready for a change. After some years of battling their condition, many give up and will grow accustomed to their handicaps and their hindrances. Now, after 38 years, it could have been the case with this man that he no longer wanted to be made well. It could be that he was not ready for a change. Unfortunately, Christ cannot help everyone. Don't let that startle you. Unfortunately, Christ cannot help everyone or everybody. You say, how come? That's because everybody is not ready for the change that Christ will bring. He'll not force himself upon you. He said, for whosoever shall call. He didn't say, for whosoever I've chosen. Amen. A lot of our Calvinist friends believe that. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Regardless as to what some may think, unfortunately, the Lord cannot help everybody because everybody's not ready for the change that the Lord will bring. Some people are comfortable with their hang-ups and their hardships, and they wear them like badges, and they lean on them like crutches. Now, you know folks like that. I mean, they're so proud of their hindrances. How you doing? Well, I'm just doing all right under the circumstances. Well, get out from underneath the circumstances. Amen. Well, you just don't. I know a lot of folks that, you know, they act so humble. You know, there's a lot of folks acting humble that's proud as can be. They're proud of their humility. You think about it for a moment. They're just so proud of their humility. I mean, they wear it like a badge. It's a crutch they lean on. What about us? The question that the Lord asked could be asked of us this evening. Do we want to be made whole? Do you want your home to be better, your marriage to be better? Do you want to overcome your doubts and your worries? Do you want for Christ to break that addiction that you might have in your life? Or are you comfortable with your condition? By the way, we should never become content or comfortable with our condition.
we can always become more like our Savior. Always. The Lord will not force himself, or nor will he force his help upon anyone. If you're not ready to change, he'll not help you. And the Lord wondered if this man was ready for a change. Notice also that the Lord wondered, would he respond to a command? Not only did he wonder, was he ready for a change, but was he going to respond to a command? You say, what command was that? It's in verse 8. The Lord said there, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. By the way, this man did not dispute the command. He didn't argue with the Lord. Some folks like to argue with the Lord. When the Lord tells us to do something, they say, well, I think it can be done a better way. Well, I'm not certain he was talking to me. I want to tell you, if you're reading it and the Lord's speaking to your heart, then he's talking to you. He's talking to you. But the Lord asked this question for this man to acknowledge whether or not he would respond to the command. The Lord commanded this man to do what he had been unable to do for 38 years. And when the Lord asked the man, wilt thou be made whole? He was not questioning the man's readiness to change, but his willingness to comply as well. Are you going to comply to the command? Now, may I say tonight, as kindly as I can, but as directly as I need to, there are some who will never be whole. They'll never experience a healthy Christian life because they'll not obey the commands of Christ. They're not willing to obey. We sing occasionally a song here, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There are some folks, they're never going to enjoy the Christian life that they could enjoy because they're not willing and ready to obey. There's several things I could say here. You're here tonight, so I'll say this. There's some folks sitting at home tonight that could have been in church. They're not obedient. You say, well, I just don't think that's a nice thing to say. I'm going to tell you, they're not obedient because the Bible says not to forsake the assembly of yourselves together as a matter of some is. Now, those who are disobedient are not going to enjoy the Christian life they could enjoy if they were obedient. Now, it's either amen or oh me. You say, you ought not be hateful. I'm trying not to be. But sometimes the truth is perceived that way. Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? There's some folks that's disobedient. Let me say this. I think I can say this. If you don't tithe, you're disobedient. Let me say that again. If you don't tithe, you're disobedient. You're not going to live the Christian life or enjoy the Christian life like you could enjoy the Christian life disobeying the command of the Lord. There are people that are not experience a healthy Christian life because they are not willing to obey. You say, are you saying they're not a Christian? I'm not saying that at all. There's some folks that's Christians that's miserable, and the reason they're miserable is because they're disobedient and backslid. Some of the most miserable people I know are backslidden Christians. Say, why are they miserable? Because they're under conviction. Conviction without commitment results in confusion. There's one more thing I want to say this evening. Not only do we see where the Lord went, not only do we see what the Lord wondered, but I want us to consider this evening. Why the Lord works. Why the Lord works. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now let's move down to verses 14 and 15. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. Now, why is it the Lord works?
Well, the Lord worked in this situation the same reason he works in our lives. He worked in this man's life for the same reason that he works in our lives this evening and in this church. I want you to notice, first of all, the Lord works so that we'll praise God. He works so that we might praise God. It's interesting here, the first place this man went. You would have thought after laying there for 38 years, he may have went somewhere else. He may have went to some family member. He may have went to some friend, some childhood friend that he'd never, that he'd lost contact with because he was not able to move around. He was impotent. But we find this man, the first place we find this man is in the temple. We find him in the temple. He who had been for 38 years by the pool, now he's able, and we find him in the temple. By the way, let me say this. If you're able to be in the house of God, you ought to be in the house of God. You say, well, I just don't feel good. Well, there's a lot of folks in this room don't feel good. If you're able to be in the house of God, you ought to be in the house of God. You say, how often? As often as the house of God's open. If you have service Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you ought to be in the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If we're having services on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you ought to be in the house of God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you have the ability to be in the house of God, you ought to be in the house of God. The first thing, in the first place, this man, we find this man, after he's able to move, we find him in the house of God. Certainly this man wanted to give God thanks and to glorify God for the miracle that had occurred in his life. Christ had healed him, and he wanted to praise God. And if the Lord Jesus Christ does something in your life, or he does something in my life, and works a miracle on our behalf, he does so in order that we might give praise to God and to glorify him with our life. That's why he does it. Not so that we can run around and brag about ourselves. He does such so that we might honor and glorify God. The Lord works in our lives not only so that we will praise God, but notice further here, he works in our lives so that we might practice godliness. Notice again what he said there in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. You see, the Lord healed this man to change not just his physical life, he healed this man to change his spiritual life. He worked in him so that he might begin to live for the Lord. You know, too many Christians today want a Christianity that demands nothing from them. Too many today want a Christian life that allows them to live in any manner they please. And may I say tonight, the Lord does not work in our lives just so that we can continue in the path that we've been traveling. He works in us to change the practice of our life. Some of you may have heard of this man. I love to read his material. I've got most every book that I know that he has written. His name is Vance Havner. He's a fiery evangelist. He's from Western North Carolina. And he made this statement, God saved us to make us holy, not happy. Let me say that again. God saved us to make us holy, not happy. And some experiences may not contribute to our happiness, but all can be made to contribute to our holiness. I want to tell you, that is a great statement. God didn't save you to make you happy. He doesn't work in your life to make you happy. He does that to make you holy. Not everything's going to make us happy. But all circumstances and experiences can be made to contribute to our holiness.
What a great story we see here. Wilt thou be made whole? We note here where the Lord went. He went to the hurting, to the helpless. We notice what the Lord wondered. Was he ready for change? Was he ready to obey a command? And then we notice lastly here that the Lord worked. Why? So that we might praise God and practice godliness. Now let me give you just a few lessons from this and I'm finished. I see in this story here some valuable lessons. The first being that the Lord met this man at the point of his need. And I say tonight, the Lord will meet you at the point of your need. He'll meet you at the point of your need. That happened to be by this pool called Bethesda, and it'll happen where you're at right now. The Lord will meet you at the point of your need. I see a second thing here, a valuable lesson. If the Lord can make a man whole beside a pool, is it not completely possible that he could do the same for you right here in the house of God among his people? If he can do a great work there beside the pool of Bethesda, could he not do a great work here amongst his people and in his house? I see a third lesson here. And that's what it is, or what is it you need him to do for you, is he can do it. This man needed help. He thought he needed somebody to get him into the pool, but what he really needed was the Lord. And may I say tonight, we should never replace the help of man for the help of God. We should never substitute the help of man for the help of God. And may I ask this evening, are you willing to obey? You say, I want the Lord to work in a great way in my life. Great. Are you ready for change? Are you ready to obey his command? And when he does work, are you willing to praise God and willing to practice godliness? If he works, are you willing to praise the Lord and live for him? If so, I believe the Lord can work in a tremendous way. This man had been impotent for 38 years, and yet the Lord did an amazing thing that day. He asked this man, wilt thou be made whole? You say, that seems like a crazy question. No, there's a lot of people that's not whole, that's content to remain that way. There's a lot of people that are not willing to obey the command of the Lord. May I ask this evening, are we willing to be made whole? Are we willing to obey? Are we willing to change and react to the change that he wants to make? Are we willing to praise the Lord? Are we willing to praise God? And are we willing to practice godliness? Those are some things that we need to consider this evening. You say, well, you know, there's no one in this room that really needs that. I want to tell you, everyone in this room needs this. Everyone in this room needs this. We need the Lord to change us and be willing to change as he desires to change. We need to be willing to obey as the Lord speaks to our heart and has a desire to do great things in our life. May God help us this evening to be like this man who willingly obeyed. He didn't disagree, nor did he discuss the command of the Lord. He just obeyed. And the very next place we find him is in the temple. May God help us to learn from the question our Savior asked.
Thank you for listening to this message, which was preached at Temple Baptist Church in Salem, Virginia. We hope that God has used it to speak to your heart. If there's anything that we may do for you, or if there are other messages that you would like to order, you may do so through our website. The address is www.temple.com. BAPTCH.com.